helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
And we continue now with Anna Maria Lusardi, the Dennett Trust Distinguished Scholar and Professor of Economics and Accountancy at the George Washington University School of Business. And previously, she was the Joel Z. and Susan Hyatt Professor of Economics at Dartmouth College, where she taught for 20 years. She has also taught at Princeton University, the University of Chicago Public Policy School, the University of Chicago Booth School of Business, and Columbia Business, and on. And it's just very impressive, Anna Maria. But I think she sits here today more comfortable about what occurred at her school this past week, where she invited another very prominent professional. You may have heard of the National Endowment for Financial Education. They were invited to attend, and they did. They sent Patricia Seaman, who is Director of Marketing and Communications, to come to hear about the results of this survey, the PISA, P-I-S-A, that they released. I'll give you more about Patricia, but right now I want to welcome her to the program because she had the opportunity to listen, to digest, and to think about what was proffered at this conference. What was your thoughts? First of all, welcome to the show. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All the way from Colorado, I believe, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. What was your impressions when you heard the results of this data and how it was presented to us?
Yeah, it wasn't completely surprising that we were in the middle. We don't like to be in the middle. We, of course, don't want other countries to be ahead of us. But so much of this test is not only what we're doing in the United States, but what other countries are doing with their students. And so this really illustrates what is going on with requirements for financial literacy in this country, for financial education, whether or not states can mandate financial education for high school students, whether or not teachers feel prepared to teach it. And a number of these things we've studied at the National Endowment and have research that shows there's a lot more we could do to improve.
And your mission at the National Endowment is?
Our mission is to help Americans become financially capable.
Well, you see, I mean, you recognize the size of this issue. Certainly, Anna Maria recognizes the importance of this issue. I guess the question is, how do we get the rest of the world? Well, let's trim it down to the United States. How do we get the United States? How do we get parents? How do we get students? How do we get our teachers, our public officials to recognize the importance of this issue?
This data is a first step. You know, it really tells us that we don't as much as we should. So I think this is, you know, a first step in recognition, in awareness, and that's why it's important to collect data so we don't shoot in the dark. And after that, I think, you know, it's time now to, you know, be more forceful about what we do. And in particular, I would say be more forceful about having financial literacy in the schools.
Is this a weapon that you can use in the fight to get this established in this country?
Definitely. It's something that I think parents will be paying attention to because they're the ones, first of all, that research shows that they have the most positive influence on their children's good financial behaviors. So parents need to look at this and say, not only what can I do at home, but what should I be fighting for in my children's schools? And because the United States is based on local school boards, there's no federal mandate for this in classrooms. But we know that parents want it. We know from research almost 90% of teachers think it's important. But what we also know is less than 20% of teachers feel competent to teach financial literacy. But we're making inroads on that. We are piloting teacher training that improves their confidence and their knowledge, you know, double and triple what it was before they had the training. So we're on the right track. We just need more of it.
What we said at the conference is that it takes a village to improve financial literacy. And what we meant by that is, you know, we need to have it in the schools, but we need to have the teachers being trained. And, you know, we need to support it. We cannot just mandate it without the support, but for example, the business community can help in that. And I think everybody will benefit from having more financially literate young people, which are going to be more literate and better customers later on.
Yeah, and that's the point. I mean, that's exactly what you're trying to do here. Why is it difficult? Why can't, again, you know, I mean, I asked the question, obviously, I probably think I have some answers to that, but I'm not here to answer. I'm here to ask, to say, if we know we have this problem, if we know in the United States in our school system we're not doing what we ought to do, if teachers want to teach financial literacy but don't feel compelled or at least qualify, what do we have to do to make sure that we don't go through another generation of kids who are not learning the very basics in terms of finance? It's so frustrating.
On the one hand, I think a lot of people say curriculum are very crowded. And so we need to find a place for financial literacy. And my suggestion is, if we don't want an independent course, let's put financial literacy in the courses we already have. The second problem, which is important, and the National Endowment has done important research on that, is we need teachers to, you know, to be trained. You know, we can't just ask them to teach a different topic or a topic they do not know. But the important things about that is that the teachers needs think is important, and actually I think they might also benefit themselves from, you know, becoming more financially literate themselves. So we need to support that training. And I think from the student perspective, you know, I think they will enjoy this course. And, you know, we need to make it engaging. We need to make it relevant. But I think, you know, talking to young people about money will be useful and they will like it.
I agree. I mean, there's nothing so captivating as talking about your own financial situation and what you can do to improve it. So it's not like the topic isn't interesting to students. But Anna Marie is right that teachers don't feel confident even in their own knowledge of things like handling credit and debt. And that's what these teacher training pilots are trying to do. It's not just how to teach a financial literacy curriculum. It is how to understand credit and debt and savings and investment. And once teachers understand those things for themselves, they feel so much more confident teaching to their students.
And I wonder, there's no great conspiracy out here to keep kids, parents, students dumb about this issue. You know, I've heard people say, well, no, they don't want us to know because then we do want you to understand how you – how can you live in a system if you don't understand how it works financially?
No, it's very important what you said, because I think this will also make people better citizens. It will allow them to understand their finances, but also the economy in which they live, and appreciate the work of financial markets, you know, why they are there, what they do. You know, I say that, you know, financial illiteracy is a tax, and is a tax on the poor. Because I think, you know, once you don't know, you tend to pay higher prices for the services you use, and you don't benefit, for example, from the advantages that are out there. So knowledge is really power.
And when I come back, I want to talk to you both about this subject, because I hear it, well, it's socioeconomics. Well, maybe it is to some degree, but Shanghai, who scored very high, they have the same socioeconomic strata that we have, and yet their kids are doing. So what's going on here? We'll be right back. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
We're very pleased to have in studio with us Anna Maria Lasardi, who is the professor of economics at George Washington University, and a lot of other things beyond that. And then also Patricia Seaman, who is the Director of Marketing and Communication for the National Endowment for Financial Education. My glasses, I can't see sideways out of them, but I know both of these people, and I'm pleased to have them here with us. We were saying before the break that this study that was released, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, released its first ever PISA, P-I-S-A, Program for International Student Assessment. Simply put, they took 15 nations, compared 15-year-olds in these 15 nations to see where they are, where they stand in terms of understanding financial literacy. Shanghai scored off the charts up high. Some countries scored off the charts down here. And in the middle was the United States with the other countries. The thing that I noted right away was that in Shanghai, for all of its goodness, it has the same strata of economic differences that we have here. There are people that make a lot of money and people that make no money or very little money. And yet they were able to elevate the financial awareness of their young people. Anna Maria, what's the difference? People use it here as an excuse. Oh, well, but they don't have very – they're poor. They can't learn. What are we doing here?
Just one clarification, because everybody will be talking about China. Of course, this is not just the whole China. It's Shanghai, right? So if we were to take a test in Washington, D.C., we would be, having different score, let's say, than in other places.
Sure.
But having said that, and the way we design the test as well is really to see whether people can elaborate, they can understand concept, and they can apply their kind of general concept to everyday financial decisions. So, one recommendation is doing well in other courses like math, science, critical thinking is really, really important, because we really want to prepare people for the future. So we don't need to teach what exists today. We need to teach them how they can understand, and elaborate about things that, will be new to them in the future. So this, I think, tells us that, other places are able to do, create that teaching, that critical thinking, mm-hmm. which I think is so important. And I, perhaps if I had to give an example of really country which have been doing well is Australia and New Zealand. And I think what I see there is really a lot of program for the young and, a very proactive approach to financial literacy for the young and in schools. And maybe these are examples to look at.
Who applied the pressure there? Who said it in New Zealand or Australia or Shanghai? Who said this is what you've got to do? Who applies that pressure here?
What is interesting, I think, in this country, we have actually worked a lot with New Zealand and the pension commissioner, which actually has been in charge of introducing financial literacy. Think about that. The pension commissioner, had been pushing for financial literacy. I think their power is because they could really see the importance of this. They could really see that, you need to equip people, because when they are adult, they have to make really important decision. And I think in this country, there is perhaps, a lot of collaborations a more coordinated effort about this topic. Sometimes, and we see this across countries, everybody is interested in this topic, right? But, often it's the central bank or the Department of the Treasury. But then, this decision is done at the Department of Education. Mm-hmm. So you need to bring in the Department of Education.
And the point that Tally Berry was making is that in schools, if you're teaching science, there's got to be a financial component to science. If you're teaching social studies, there has to be a financial component that, in other words, while you want to teach financial literacy, you can introduce it in almost any study, any classroom, if you but do that. But the question is, do they feel qualified to do it?
Right. And I think integrating financial education into things like Common Core lessons that's being worked on, and that's an easy way in some ways to integrate financial literacy into classrooms, regardless of social sciences or math or family and consumer sciences. It's very easy to put it in. We're not talking about rocket science level financial education here. We're talking about fundamentals like the difference between needs and wants, and understanding compound interest and how it grows over time. These are really fundamental concepts that kids need to make those decisions and so forth that Anna was talking about.
Yeah, and if that happens, Anna, you're happy that, hey, this is a tool that's doing what it's designed to do.
Absolutely. And I want to come back with what Tally said, which is, what I've learned, was, some of this concept were not as rigorous, or, where should I be put? What should be taught in financial literacy? It's important that we build a curriculum for that as well, so a list of core competencies, because this is an important topic, and it has its own curriculum.
Indeed, I agree wholeheartedly. That's why we're here today. That's why we've devoted this show to this topic, and we'll do so again until somebody hears us and we get it right. We can get it right if we just put our minds to it. We'll be right back, and we'll wrap things up. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. My guest, Patricia Seaman, Director of Marketing and Communications for the National Endowment for Financial Education, otherwise known as NEFE, and also Anna Maria Lusardi, who is the Professor of Economics and Accountancy at the George Washington University School of Business and responsible in great part for the presentation of a study that took a look at 15 countries, the 15-year-olds of from 15 countries, to determine where they are and where we are in comparison. Fascinating information that was presented last week at her conference, Dr. Lusardi's conference. And Patricia, you were there. How now do you use what you have, what you've heard?
So what we've heard is the United States is in the middle. We got a participation ribbon. What we want next time is to be on the medal stand. And so using curricula available from NEFE and others, high school curricula that are vetted and that have been proven to be effective with high school students is great. If you're a parent, make sure that's in your kid's school. If you live in a state that does not have mandates for financial education in high schools, you know, work with your local politicians to make that happen. There are a lot of things, including just teaching your kids at home and supporting things like teacher training so that your kids have this available to them. And next time around, maybe we'll be in the top three.
Wonderful. And if people want to reach out to you, how do they do that?
Check our website, smartaboutmoney.org, and that will give you a lot of resources for parents and direct you to our high school program and also a college program to help young people be better financially.
Well, wonderful, Patricia. Thank you so much for that. And let me turn just for a minute to Anna Maria, who it's a call to action. At the end of the day, what you're saying is, okay, here it is. All right. Get to work.
Yes, yes, we must do more. This is the message I started with and I want to add with. And I always ask, and I ended with this at the conference, asking everybody to be an ambassador for financial literacy. Ask for it in your school district. Ask for it in your library. Make sure that the youth is financially literate and make sure that financial literacy becomes something available to everybody. But in particularly the young people, they are going to live in a different world and they really need to be equipped to live in this different world. We are doing a lot of research on this topic. We are hosting the whole event that has been videotaped so people can watch, for example, the interview with Secretary of Education Arne Duncan and the chair of the President Council for Financial Capability for Young American on our website. It is www.gflec.org.
All right, www.gflec.org. Folks, it is a call to action, and it's out there for you. But you have to do your part. You have to demand that financial literacy be taught to your child. And you know what? I know what you don't know because I don't know a lot of it either, and I don't like to do that. I don't like to admit what I don't know. But that's part of the problem. We pretend like we understand the financial operations, the financial literacy levels that we should. We don't have that. I don't have it. You don't have it. But let's make sure our children have it. And once we do that, they will rise from the participant level to the medal level in terms of what we do with in this global economy.
Yes, the data really shows that we are not at the level where we should be, that these skills is critically important. And, you know, it is like reading and writing. So we need the young to be financially literate. And the best way to acquire that financial literacy is in school.
And again, I want so that people can reach out to you if they have a need to talk. Again, would you give the contact information to us?
Yep. All of the information and also the work we do is available on our website at www.gflec.org.
Okay, folks. That's it. www.gflec.org. And you can. There's a role for you here. I thank you, Patricia. You certainly are doing your role. There's no question about it. Dr. Lusardi, George Washington University, has really stepped up to the plate. And you, through your guidance and leadership, have set the level of saying, okay, come on down. Don't tell me what isn't. Tell me what is and what you're going to do about it. And if they do that, it'll make a difference. And let me also thank my son, Tally Berry, my co-host, who brings a completely different perspective to things that are so important. So to the young people out there, we remember and remind ourselves that you're next. Indeed, you're here. And we have to make sure that it's right for you as well. We hope you'll go in and join us again next week. Thank you both for being here with us. And we hope to have you back on the program real soon. Al, thank you in there. I'm Paul Berry. I'll be back again next week. Financial literacy is what it's all about, folks. And I hope you're ready to join the party. See you next week.